Please don't wait till it's too late. Call McIntyre Elder Law.
Welcome to May, Mental Health Awareness Month. I'm Greg McIntyre with McIntyre Elder Law, and this is the Elder Law Report. And we're going to talk about mental health issues in estate planning. And there are myriad. So Sam, mental health issues in estate planning, we could talk about, and we'll talk about special needs trust, supplemental needs trust within wills and trust, how mental health care powers of attorney or directives are different than health care powers of attorney and directives and can cause problems if you don't have both. Or combine them and have both those elements in there, and much, much more. So tell me about healthcare powers of attorney and mental health care directives or psychiatric care directives and how they differ and how we solve that problem.
Sure. So a healthcare power of attorney is a legal document where you can appoint an agent, someone that you trust, to make your healthcare decisions for you, specifically if you become incompetent. So if you become incompetent, cannot make your own healthcare decisions, such as second opinions from doctors, medical treatment, whether you want an autopsy, burial, cremation, that's all encompassed within the healthcare power of attorney. So it's a very generalized medical legal document that appoints someone to handle all of your medical affairs. Whereas a mental health directive or a mental advance directive, that's going to specifically state, you know, do I want these type of treatments or psychiatric treatments if something were to happen to my mental health? So it's very specialized as to what may be going on mentally.
I feel like people are, in general, skeptical or hesitant to give someone else the ability to handle mental health care treatments for them. I personally have had lots of clients. I have experience with lots of clients that have, as they aged, had issues, which is not uncommon, period. One in five adults have mental health care issues in America. And as we age with dementia, Alzheimer's, there's a mental health component of that. There really is. And it can be misdiagnosed, right? You know, there can be, it can be hard to diagnose what the actual issue is, whether it's a mental health issue that's independent of what's going on with an Alzheimer's dementia diagnosis or situation. So, you know, if you don't have a mental health care power of attorney that's separate from the healthcare power of attorney, and your healthcare power of attorney doesn't have those components within regarding mental health care, which is a separate statute in North Carolina than the physical health care, then you're stuck. You know, you can't make, you don't have someone that you've equipped to help you treat your whole self, body and mind. So I'm a big fan of, and that's the way I like to write the healthcare powers of attorney, is to include those statutory references and sections to mental health care power of attorney. And then we also allow people to limit the choices or what powers they give someone else as well. I think, you know, Morgan, who's filming us today, had mentioned before, you know, one real concern.
Electroconvulsive therapy.
Electro-ECT.
Yes.
Electroconvulsive therapy. Right? And so if you wanted to limit, so if I had, we're making you my healthcare agent for mental health care and physical health care purposes, I can limit you from being able to administer ECT to me.
Or psychiatric drugs too.
Or psychiatric like drugs. I might not, I might want counseling or other therapy, right?
Yeah.
And treatments, but not powerful psychiatric drugs.
Especially if you like to treat any type of sickness or medical condition they may have holistically as well. Like you want to be able to have those special limitations where we're not just jumping right into this super harsh drug where there's other options, maybe holistic options that can be presented before, you know, we're going into the more harsh treatment.
So if I'm your client and mm-hmm. I'm telling you, hey, that's my philosophy. That's kind of how mm-hmm. I run my healthcare life and, you know, more on the holistic side. And, you know, let's say maybe at some point, if all else fails, let's go for these drugs. Could you write a mental health care section in a healthcare power of attorney for me that would allow me to fulfill my wishes?
You could. There's a special instruction section in the healthcare power of attorney that would allow you to specifically put that in and limiting the ability of what your healthcare agent can do to make sure that what you want is going to happen.
Right. And I think we're capable of playing jazz as well and mm-hmm. doing some legal writing there,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
To specifically craft the powers the way that it's tailored to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we want to do it.
Yeah.
So what about if I have a special needs family member,
mm-hmm.
if I have an autistic child or grandchild, or as I like to say, I'm very blessed. I have 6 children that are all healthy. But if one of them is in any way physically or mentally disabled
mm-hmm.
at any point in their life or a grandchild, I don't know what the future holds. So I want to be able to account for that, either to take care of a current child or grandchild if something happens to me, maybe financially, okay, mm-hmm. to make sure there's some money set aside. And we have some real special concerns there, which are if someone is disabled and they have, they're drawing disability,
mm-hmm.
but SSI.
Mm-hmm. SSI, yes.
Which is means tested. It's dependent on a lot on your assets
mm-hmm.
and income.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make sure, and that child, grandchild might have elevated healthcare needs and mm-hmm. cost. So with SSI comes along with it, a Medicaid healthcare component.
Mm-hmm.
They go hand in hand. How do I prevent? And I want to leave them something, but that's like, how do I solve that problem that I want to provide for them, but I don't want to hurt their benefits?
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily just want to give it to some other family member and just say, hey, spend this on this child over here,
no.
just hoping that happens, right?
Yeah.
I want to make sure that happens.
Yeah. What I'll do in a consultation is I'll walk a client through, you know, if you just have a will and you're just leaving these assets to this child, you're putting them in a tough situation, even if they're not on government benefits right now, they may need to be eligible in the future. And you don't want to leave those assets just to an individual, because if you leave those assets to just another individual, it's their assets. They could do whatever they want with it. There's no provisions that tells them how they're supposed to spend that money. So you can do a special needs trust where it puts the money in a pot for the benefit of this individual. And it makes sure that the trustee, the person that you have named, is going to administer that money appropriately for that individual, whether they need to become eligible for government benefits, whether they're on government benefits so they don't get disqualified, making sure that their care and maintenance is taken care of, that their needs are being taken care of. That's the whole point of a special needs trust, is to put this money in a pot specifically for this individual with a trusted person handling that money for them and making sure that their government benefit is not disqualified.
Now, I can do that during my life.
Mm-hmm.
I can set up a third party special yep. needs trust because it's being funded by a third party me
mm-hmm.
for the use and benefit of this child or grandchild, for example. Or, and that's, I think there's benefits to that because I can name that special needs trust even if I don't have the assets that I mm-hmm. want to put there. Say I have life insurance. And that's the beneficiary. Or I have other investments and I
yeah,
want to make that trust the beneficiary.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be in existence for me to be able to do that.
Yep.
But I could create trust coming out of my death, right?
Mm-hmm.
After I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I could do that either in my will, a testamentary mm-hmm. trust,
yeah.
tomato, tomato, or I could do that in a trust,
mm-hmm.
as a sub-trust. And that would be called a supplemental needs trust, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I can essentially accomplish the same things after I'm gone. And because I don't know when and if one of my children or grandchildren will become disabled,
yeah,
I might want to add that provision in a will or trust if I draft it.
Yeah. And I'll advise that. Yeah, I'll advise that to clients. So a testamentary trust is great if you don't know.
Right.
If there's a possibility. So I'll have a younger, couple come in, and then we'll have their parents come in, and, you know, grandparents are super excited. They're going to have their first grandchild, or their second. And usually what I'll say is, you know, as you're having more grandchildren, if you want them to be included in your estate plan, really, you know, coming in, reviewing your documents and making sure that things, are going to reflect what you need. So if there was a situation where maybe one of the grandchildren, did have special needs, we want to make sure that that's accounted for in your estate planning.
Sure. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So are there any other issues that you think are relevant to discuss that we need to bring out in our video today, our Elder Law Report, addressing Mental Health Awareness Month?
Yeah, I would say that if you have a child, I'm coming from experience where I have a case right now where biological grandparents adopted their grandchild, and unfortunately he has been experiencing some mental episodes where they thought it was teenage rebellion, but really it's psychiatric, and they really don't know what to do. He's unwilling to sign any type of document, such as a healthcare power of attorney, which would appoint them to be able to have legal authority to help him. So they've had to go the guardianship route, where we have to ask the court for the grandparents, now that he's over 18, to become his guardian, so they have some legal authority to make decisions for him. When he's having these mental episodes and he's going to the hospital, the doctors are not talking to the grandparents because they don't have legal authority to talk to them. Sometimes, unfortunately, a guardianship route may be an option that you have to go down if that situation would arise. So that's an option that you have available. So you're not just kind of, don't know what to do, or there's no options. There always is an option. It may not be the best option, but at least it allows now these grandparents to have some type of legal authority to help their grandson who they love dearly.
And, you know, super important issues. The encore point would be avoiding guardianships.
Yeah.
Especially on the financial side and court oversight and the expense of annual accountings, lawyers. We handle a lot of that. You can avoid that with special needs trust and supplemental needs trust by having a third-party payee for the SSI benefit, which doesn't require a guardianship, and then having the other monies in the special needs trust. Then there's no need for a guardian over the estate. Mm-hmm. Now, there might still be a need for a guardian of the person, which is a different part of guardianships, to handle just healthcare decisions and placement, things like that, you know, where someone lives, living situations. But that's a great way to avoid, again, guardianships as well. I feel like I continually repeat points about avoiding guardianship, avoiding probate and those things. Mm-hmm. Engaging in estate planning, especially in regards to things like mental health care, is extremely important, not only for yourself, but also for your children and your grandchildren. I'm Greg McIntyre with McIntyre Elder Law, and we'd be glad to consult with you and your family about your estate planning. Take advantage of a free consultation by calling 1-888-999-6600, or you can schedule online on our website at mcelderlaw.com/scheduling. Thank you.
Thanks.
We put off planning till things get slow. Tomorrow's never promised today. Don't get too busy and let it all slip away. Please don't wait till it's too late. Call McIntyre Elder Law. Foundational planning or more complex, we can help when you're perplexed. If a loved one needs long-term care, we can help avoid some of the scare. Please don't wait till it's too late. Call McIntyre Elder Law. Estate planning, benefits, and even probate.
take the planning piece off your plate. If you or your spouse were in the military,